Just wanted to encourage everyone, if you, just a couple of things real quick. We sent out a video about the discipleship, and it, it's 7 minutes, I think, 6 or 7 minutes. And and you don't even have to look at me, you just listen to me. You don't have to stare at it for... But give it a listen if you've not. But the biggest thing is, I know a lot of you listened to it. It seemed like most everybody viewed it. But I just need to hear back from you if it's something you want to participate in, because we're trying to get it set up right now. Looks like we're going to have at least two groups.
Woo-hoo! So,
and then I need to hear from you that want to do it by Zoom and things like that, so that we can just plan it out and get this thing locked in. I'm going to make a personal phone call to each of you just to answer any of your questions or concerns or about your schedule, so we can make it happen. Okay, so a little announcement there today about that. It should be in your email box, or you can go on the Facebook page and click on the YouTube video there and watch that if you haven't seen it yet. And if you did watch it and you just didn't respond or hadn't thought about it, I know what happens if I don't respond to something usually right away. I forget to ever respond, and then later I'm wishing I had a slot in one of the groups. And so, yeah, we're trying to keep that on point anyway. Wanted to bless you with the scripture from Proverbs today. First of all, I want to thank all of you. I know right now in this situation, we're not passing plates and baskets around for offering, but we do have an offering box in the back of the room that you can place your offering in there. I know many of you now are giving online. We appreciate all of you for your faithfulness, and because the bills carry on. Amen?
Amen.
And your pastor still eats every day, so you need to feed me. Notice. Anyway, but I there's so many good scriptures about giving. But I love this one from Proverbs. How many love Proverbs?
Yes.
Amen.
The book of wisdom. And always remember this when you read the Old Testament. It's not old. It's not old in the sense that it doesn't apply. That's where we get off base. The Psalms and Proverbs and God's will doesn't change just because we have the new covenant. Amen. Thank God for the grace of the new covenant. But the principles are the same.
Amen.
Amen. And so anyway, I just wanted to read this to you from Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord. Everybody say, with all your heart.
All your heart.
Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him.
Yes.
And what will He do? He will make your path straight. Amen. Amen. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body. Get that. And refreshment to your bones. Anybody needs some refreshment to your bones and healing to your body? Amen.
Yes.
Honor the Lord from your wealth. From your income, from your wealth. And get this, from the first of all your produce.
Amen.
Now, obviously, he was speaking agriculturally to vast majority of an agricultural community, but produce would be your income. Amen? Y'all getting quiet. Amen. From the first of all your income, so that what? Your barns will be filled with plenty. Amen? And your vats will overflow with new wine.
Yeah.
And there's so many scriptures you could use. But I just want to encourage you, when you give, not only to give, but to give in faith.
That's right.
Give expectant. I'm believing God for big barns really, really filled.
That's right. Amen.
And I believe the vats overflowing, I like to take it into a whole nother level, that the vats of the wine of His anointing,
that's right,
are going to overflow like we've never seen before. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just agree for that. And as we believe God for our enlarged place, amen? And that God has for us, our abundant place that we've been talking about over these last few weeks. But anyway, thank you for your faithfulness. If you have any questions about any type of way of giving online or anything like that, if you don't already know, you can always contact my dear wife, and she will
Melissa.
Help you navigate. Huh?
Melissa.
Oh. Who?
Melissa.
Oh, I thought my wife changed her name. I got nervous there.
Anyway, to get rid of the job.
And let me just say this. I want to make very clear. We always tell people, we want you to come if you want to come. I just need to know you're coming so we can. We're very careful in the room. We use distancing.
Right.
But I want you to know that when you come, but we always ask everybody, if you're not feeling well, you don't need to be here.
Right.
You need to come when you're well. Don't come here with a fever. Don't bring your kids and give them to my wife for children's church with a fever or anything like that. We need to always use caution. We're getting over this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has already overcome.
That's right. Amen.
I believe that law in my heart. And I And I believe in the victory, and I'm praying for the victory. And I believe, I'm believing for the days when we won't have to be so concerned about
That's
stuff
right.
like that. Amen?
That's right.
But right now, we need to use wisdom and then trust God for His healing and
Amen.
Protection.
Amen? Amen?
But we can't go against basic principles and then think, violate all those
yeah.
principles and then just want to claim a promise.
Yeah.
Will we agree? You can't do that. It's putting God to the test.
Right.
And none of us want to be guilty of that. Amen? Amen? Fair enough? Okay. Also, one other thing that I want to say. Oh, next Sunday, we're going to have a baptismal tank. And a dear sister who gave her heart to the
yeah.
Lord on last Sunday, we're going to, and I, but what I, the reason I'm saying that, if any of you have mentioned to me in the past or whatever about being baptized and you've not done it, then let us know. We, I think the last baptism we did was in November. And it was quite chilly
cool.
in that backyard
yeah.
swimming pool. That's why I decided I wanted to get some kind
shoes.
Of a tank. Yeah, yeah, it was a, and you really wanted to give your heart to Jesus that day. No, but anyway, but we'll, but believe God with us. We want to believe. We need to have a type of a portable tank that we can use in any building we're in and wherever we are at. Would you agree? I would
yeah.
even like to use them for outreaches and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when people get saved, where they could just say, well, if you want to be baptized, you can be baptized right now.
Yeah.
You know, I want us to be able to do that. So we're trying to do a little shopping on that and see what we can get for a reasonable price with a heater.
Yeah,
yeah, with a heater.
But anyway, so thank God for that. So that's next Sunday. So if you know of anybody that's mentioned to you or if you're watching today and you want to do that next Sunday, just get in touch with me about that this week. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Hallelujah.
God is good.
All the time,
all
you agree?
All the time.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into the Word of God. I want to share something with you today and about, we're not going to look exactly at what we looked at last week. I will be referring, I talked to you last week from Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 54, but I want to share with you today a little bit more about this enlargement and what that looks like. Now, how many of you know, we don't need to only be enlarged in our facilities. We need to be enlarged within. Do we agree?
Amen.
I mean, it's not enough just to get a building. You know, what's the old movie? I don't remember what movie it was. If you build it, they will come. Field of Dreams, I think, is the name of it.
Yeah.
And you know, that doesn't work in the kingdom. Hello? Because what got to be built is within us. We need to be enlarged within. We agree? But throughout Scripture, what would happen is the Lord would usually speak to a prophet. And then he would stir up leaders, and then the leaders would stir up more people. And it was always about building the house of the Lord, or rebuilding the house of the Lord in some cases, or building the wall, whatever it may be. But God was always about restoring things the way he originally intended. Amen?
Amen.
And so that you see that pattern throughout Scriptures. Now, Hebrews reveals to us that Jesus is our great high priest over the house of God. Everybody say house of God.
House of God.
Now, we know in the New Covenant, the house of God is being built with what? Living stones, right? You and me, we make up the spiritual house of God.
Amen.
And when we join together, we're the house of God, and we offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices to God.
Amen.
I'll talk more about that in just a moment. But this morning, I want to begin by looking at God's relationship with His Old Testament house, okay? I want to look at that first. Because you'll see some principles laid out here, and then we'll switch it over more to the context of the New Covenant. But let's begin this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning with verse number 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace, and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place. Everybody say this place.
This place.
For myself as a what?
House
of sacrifice. Make note of that. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and what? My people who are what?
Called by
y'all
my
don't
name.
Know this verse. Called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And what else?
Turn from their wicked ways.
Then, everybody say then.
Yeah.
I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. But keep reading. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in
this place.
Say this place.
Wow.
For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever. And my, I love this. This is God saying this. My eyes and my heart will be there what?
Perpetually.
Perpetually.
Forever.
How many love to know that you're part of the household of faith, the house of God, and His eyes are towards you perpetually?
Amen.
His heart is toward us perpetually. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now, we talked last week about how Isaiah 53 reveals to us prophetically that Jesus became the eternal sacrifice for our sins. Amen? Amen. How many of you know in the new covenant, we no longer offer the sin sacrifice? Right?
Right.
We don't bring bulls and goats in here. We don't slay animals because Jesus became the Lamb of God for the sins of the whole world once and for all.
That's right.
Do we agree?
Yes. Amen.
So in the house of God, we don't make that kind of a sacrifice. Now, Isaiah 54, which is what we talked about last week, reveals to us prophetically that we have to break forth from barrenness and enlarge the house. Why? Because there's many spiritual sons and daughters that are coming in.
Amen.
Amen? We break off barrenness, that's good, but we also have to enlarge our hearts and enlarge the house for the growth that is coming. Yeah. Amen? I was talking to my son yesterday at Clark's soccer game, and he was just telling me, he said, you know, Dad, I've got to, you know, they got five kids. He said, Dad, I need a house with more bedrooms than what we have. You know, they got five kids and a dog. You know, this is throwing all in there, right? Got a small farm, you know. But let me tell you something. You know, we've all had to make decisions like that sometimes in our life. We've got to enlarge in some way or form, especially with the house. But in the new covenant, we're the house of the Lord. And even though Jesus has made the once and for all sacrifice for our sins, we still offer up a sacrifice. Did you know that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We offer up what? The sacrifice of praise.
Yes, praise.
Which is what? The fruit of our lips,
yes.
Giving thanks unto the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The house of God is supposed to be known as what? The house of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The house of praise and worship, the house of prophecy, the prophetic word, the house of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Where the family of God comes in. Now we know the early church at Jerusalem, they gathered day by day. Day by day in the temple and from house to house.
Amen.
Okay? In each other's homes. And again, we need to be enlarged in our hearts regarding God's house, regarding God's church. But can I tell you, real growth is not just us getting more square footage. That's not the growth that we need. We need that, but I'm just saying that it's about reaching a harvest and adding living stones to the house of God. Amen? I heard my friend Phil Beekler, who pastors up in Long Island, New York, his favorite phrase is when people kind of have more space than they need, he said, everybody's in there like BBs in a boxcar.
Yeah.
A lot of space and not a lot of BBs.
Yeah.
And so anyway. Thank you, Phil. That didn't go over as well as it did at your church, but anyway. But we need to be enlarged and believe God. Now, I want to go over to Acts chapter 3 if you want to turn there. In Acts chapter 3, Peter's, at least recorded for us here, is Peter's second sermon in the book of Acts. And it was the one he preached after the healing of the lame beggar at the gate Beautiful. And he closes his message with these words, beginning with verse 16 of Acts 3. Look there with me. On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man who you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. How many of you know that's Isaiah 53? Right? He's already fulfilled that. Therefore, what?
Repent and return.
Let's say that together. Repent and return. Okay? In order that what? So that your sins will be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus the Christ, notice this, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until, everybody say,
until
the period of restoration. Okay? So Jesus is in heaven until the restoration takes place. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
The restoration of what? All things spoken by the mouth of his prophets from ancient times. There's a reason we have the Old Testament prophecies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all still there?
Yep.
Again, Jesus fulfilled the prophecies regarding his sufferings, did he not? What did he say on the cross? It is finished. It's accomplished. Some translations even say the implication of the meaning is paid in full. How many of you are glad for that? Hallelujah. I mean, if nothing else, we could stand and praise him all day for that, right?
Amen.
That the penalty has been paid. But can I tell you, there are other ancient prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Many prophecies have a double fulfillment. They were fulfilled for a particular time in Israel, but yet they will be fulfilled again. Y'all understand that? They're fulfilled in Jesus.
Yeah.
We get a greater revelation of what that meant in Jesus, or in His church, and in modern day Israel.
Yeah.
We're seeing Israel come back to her land, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And God's doing things. And it's like so many scriptures carry a double meaning in the prophecies. A lot of people that struggle with that, you need to understand something. Most of the New Testament prophetic scriptures that we hold so dear were from the Old Testament.
Right, right.
The apostles drew them out of the Old Testament and brought them forth in the New. Okay, so we need to get over ourselves and we just think everything is just Matthew forward.
Yeah.
It's powerful to know what God spoke before because He's going to do it again. For example, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. It was in that day, but it is going to be that way in this day. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Everybody with me? Israel's history, for example, in the Old Testament, Paul said this, it was written for our example upon whom the ends of the ages will come. So we learn from these examples. How many of you, I learned from looking at how they came out of Egypt and what happened in the wilderness and how they crossed over. We learn what not to do and what to do.
Yeah.
By following the prophetic example of Israel, for example. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Israel has been that way all through the scriptures. We use references. We talk about, you know, God brought me out of Egypt. He set me free from slavery, right, to sin, and to my old life. Jesus is the lamb slain, get this, before the foundations of the world.
Yeah.
So He was never an afterthought.
Right.
Are y'all with me? The Lamb of God was never an afterthought. Before the foundation of the world, it was prophetically established He would be slain for our sins. Even the feast days of the Lord that Israel was told to always keep and never not keep them, those appointed times, even those feast days are merely a shadow of Him who was to come, Jesus.
Yeah.
He is the fulfillment. He is the Passover lamb.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so on. Everybody still there?
Yeah.
Very important. My favorite passage is this. Everything is summed up in Christ.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything is summed up in Christ.
Amen.
From the beginning.
Yes.
Amen?
Jesus.
Free is He who was and who is and who is to come. Amen? And He's unchanging. In fact, He's with us today as He was yesterday and He will be forever. Hallelujah. And His Word doesn't change. Glory be to God. So, repent and return. Three things. Number one, repent and return so that your sins will be wiped away. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I mean, you know, it's one thing to want God to forgive you, but it's another thing to walk away from what you got forgiven from.
Yeah.
Remember the woman at the caught in adultery. He did not condemn her or accuse her, but He did say, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
In other words, don't go just jump back in bed with somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, walk away from this lifestyle. Amen?
Yeah.
Secondly, so number one, He wipes away our sins. How many are you glad for that? Most people in the body of Christ understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the repent part, maybe not the return part.
Yeah.
We need to get both parts together. But secondly, times of refreshing. And I love that it says times plural. Not just one time, one touch. It's times of refreshing. And what I love about that is, I'll never forget the time I looked it up and I knew it meant revive, but it literally means to be resuscitated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God giving you CPR.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And it's like, but another, I saw another concordance say it this way, to catch the wind.
Amen.
How many of you were catching the wind today in worship?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
To catch the wind of what God is doing. See, we can have a God encounter anytime we'll come in and put up our spiritual sails and allow Him to fill them.
Catch
Amen?
The wind.
Hallelujah.
Good.
It's not about whether or not God's pouring out. It's about whether or not we're even anywhere close to getting adapted to that.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing, though, interestingly, how many of you are glad for the first two? Your sins are wiped away and He refreshes
yes.
you.
Yes. Amen.
He gives you a new life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But how about the third one? And this is the ultimate one. He's going to send Jesus appointed for us.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's coming again, beloved.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But please note, He won't come again.
Yes.
He won't come again until the period of what? Restoration.
Yes.
Of all these things prophesied. You know, I'm seeing some things. I got saved in the height of the charismatic movement and the prophetic movement and the prayer movement. So during that time in my growth in the Lord, I saw a lot of things. How many of you know, a lot of times if you stood for things, for example, like the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and especially speaking with other tongues and prophesying and various things, people began to freak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was a major change from their dead religion.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And I really prayed about it. I said, Lord, I love it when you restore things, but why does it always have to be so painful? Mm-hmm. Because you know what we're having to deal with religion? Mm-hmm. We're having to deal with the way everybody, an old wineskin.
Right.
And the Lord says, I can't use the old wineskin. Mm-hmm. You would never be able to code it or contain it. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we know that, but and the Lord told me this and just this week, much like, remember, you know the birth pangs that are increasing of the signs of the time, right? Are we not seeing that?
Yeah.
And they get more intensified and closer together. You know what the Spirit spoke to me? He said restoration of the prophetic word is the same way.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot restored, but it's getting ready to accelerate.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And there are some things that people saw restored and they walked away from it, but God's calling them back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To enter back into that again. Amen. God didn't restore that so we would walk away from it.
That's right. That's right.
But that we enter more fully into it. Amen?
That's right. We enter into it.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
As we approach the end of the age and the coming of our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I got news for you. This gospel of the kingdom is to be preached to all nations. Amen. Amen. To all tribes and tongues
Amen.
And peoples.
Amen.
And then the end shall come.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Are you glad he's coming?
That's right. Yeah.
See, we have to live with that expectancy. It changes the way you live if you really believe that.
Yeah.
It changes the way you live. There's always the opportunity. Would y'all agree with me? There's always an opportunity just living in this fallen world. There's always the opportunity for us to repent and return.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for our sins, right? Our failures, our missteps.
Yeah.
You know, we hit the wall, so to speak. But can I tell you, there is a repenting and returning that's according to gaining revelation. Stay with me. God shows you something. You've just never seen it that way before. And it challenges you. It challenges you in the way you believe. It challenges you in the way you minister. Right? In the way you pray. In the way you seek God. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
It's very important. That also is a part of repenting and returning. Now, as Peter's preaching to these Jews, trying to help them to understand, you were in ignorance when you sent him to the cross and you crucified him. You didn't know what you were doing. But he said, you need to repent and return. You're going to have to enter into this new thing.
Amen.
But much when God shows us things and he gives us breakthrough and he gives us new revelation, we have to be a people that are constantly repenting and returning.
Yeah.
Here's the beauty of it. The more you and I enter into new revelation and prophetic understanding, God's going to bring even more refreshing on us.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I said the word times of refreshing.
Exponential.
From the presence. Anybody want that? I love the refreshing.
Hallelujah.
I believe with all of my heart that there's a special wind of renewal with every new revelation. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
When God brings forth something new. How many know it's not new to God? It's new to you. I've taught you this before, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say it again today. The word for revelation means to pull back the veil. Okay? So, what is that saying? It was already there. Kind of like behind door number 3. You just didn't know it.
Yeah. Yep.
And God pulls back the veil. He opens the door and shows you something that you never saw. That's revelation.
Yeah.
But it was always there. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You getting that?
Yes.
And with every revelation, he brings a wind of renewal.
That's right. Amen.
A time of refreshing upon our lives. More, Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
But see, I could cry out more, Lord, and have I pressed as much into knowing what he's doing to want that anointing and desire that anointing on our lives. So again, you and I are the spiritual house of God. And those of you online, we're the spiritual house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? But this doesn't mean we don't need a physical place to assemble together. Okay? Let me give you an example. My family has a house. It's my home. My household dwells there. Would you agree?
Yeah.
When I leave my house, did I leave my family? No.
No.
I'm still a part of the family.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? Everybody.
Yeah.
You're still a part of the family. But there's no place like home.
Yeah.
Get where I'm going?
Yeah.
What's the first thing the enemy does with most people when they get in a hard place? He gets them to pull away from the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking COVID right now. I'm talking just in general.
Yeah.
This is not anything that unique.
Yeah.
Where people pull away and they don't value their family time. Mm-hmm. Y'all shout me down. If you're here, you ought to be really happy.
Amen.
Amen.
Here's the thing. I believe this with all my heart. I believe in the anointing of the secret place of prayer. And it's got a particular anointing for me on a personal level. Do you agree?
Amen.
Yes.
But there is a corporate anointing.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
Amen.
Because when we come together, Christ is filling all of us in all of us. It's different.
That's right.
It's another level. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
I praise God for that. There are special times of outpouring when we're together. The Bible uses the phrase one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in one place together. At Pentecost, we kind of read past this, but at Pentecost, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came. Y'all remember it? He came like what? A mighty rushing wind.
Yeah.
You know what it says next? And filled the whole house where they were seated.
Amen.
Now notice that. The Holy Spirit, when He came at Pentecost, He first filled the room. Fill the room. I don't know if they were singing that or not, but you know. He filled the room. And get that. And then He filled them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And they began to speak with other tongues, and there was flames of fire upon their head. I mean, I'd love to have been there. I'm serious. I'd love to have been there. Hallelujah. Try to put that in a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Well, next, sir, we're going to light your hair on fire.
Yeah.
You know? In Acts chapter 4, they're praying unto God, saying, Lord, give us more confidence to speak your word while you extend your hand to heal. Sides of, and the reason they're praying that way is they've gotten a bunch of threats and a bunch of persecution has come their way.
Yeah.
And they go before God and said, Lord, grant us the confidence to speak your word with all boldness.
Yeah.
While you, Lord, extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders, we were singing that today, take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus.
Amen.
You know what happened next? The place. Everybody say the place.
The place.
Well, they were all gathered. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the place where they were gathered shook.
Yes.
By the power and presence of God. Everybody say the place.
The place.
See, Hebrews tells us that Jesus isn't ashamed to call us His brothers and sisters. That He comes into the very midst of the congregation. In other words, the place where you congregate. Whether it be in a home, or whether it be here together, or in a tabernacle, or a cathedral, whatever it may be, the temple or house to house, He comes where we congregate. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Could it be that's why the scripture we know so well from Hebrews 10, let us consider how to what? Stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see what? The day drawing near. I believe with all of my heart, this admonition in Scripture, that's Hebrews 10:24 and 25. I believe this not forsaking our own assembling together is all the more applicable to us in this day and age than any generation has ever lived. Because we're closer to the day of the Lord than anybody that's ever lived. Would you agree?
That's right.
And so it's even that more. The day of the Lord is drawing near.
Amen.
Now, at Pentecost, Peter preached from the book of the prophet Joel. And he said, this is that which Joel prophesied. And he begins to quote from the book and preach from the book. And he talks about how where the Spirit would be poured out upon what?
All flesh.
And your sons and your daughters shall
prophesy.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes. You're going to see dreams. You're going to see visions. Amen?
Yes.
But he also went on to say, there would be wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath. Mm-hmm. Amen? And the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before what? The great and glorious day of the Lord. And then he adds this, and it shall be, everybody say it shall be, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. With all this going on, harvest is still going on.
That's right.
Hallelujah. People are still giving their hearts to the Lord. But I want you to see, the culmination of the church age is the day of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? It's the day of the Lord. And right now we're in that place where we're still believing for our sons and daughters to come in. The fullness of the Gentiles will come in.
Amen.
Then Israel shall be saved and grafted in. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be a powerful, beautiful thing.
Amen.
I hope I'm on the planet to see it. We may be.
Yeah.
We may be. But it doesn't change anything. The day of the Lord is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
The last days of the church is harvest time.
That's right.
Amen? The close of the last day is the day of the Lord.
That's right.
When He comes.
Sick,
yeah, I believe He's coming again. It's serious.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Do you live with that? Understand
that?
Yeah.
His church is going to be what? Glorious. Without what? Spot?
Spot or wrinkle.
Or without wrinkle. His house will be a house of prayer and praise. His house will be a house of glory.
Amen.
Because see, only the glory can transform me into His image. Only the glory can perfect us in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
Where the fullness of Him is truly in all of us and filling all of us. How many want that? I want that so much.
Yes.
I've been at small gatherings before, maybe powerful prayer meetings, where I felt like just everybody was so filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I've also been in bigger meetings where it seemed like the vast majority of the people there were just so filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Y'all ever been in those kind of meetings?
Oh, yeah.
There is nothing like it. It's electric
yeah.
Yeah.
with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it ought to be normal for the church.
That's right. That's
Come on.
Bring it on.
We should have to bring in some heavy hitter evangelist to make that happen.
Yeah.
It ought to be just because we're the gate of heaven. What did Jacob say? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is coming again. The key to all of this is to be in the Spirit. Whether we're together, whether we're joining together online, whatever it may be, we have to be in the Spirit. If I say in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Now, three things I want to give you today, and then we're going to pray and respond to this word. I think these are three things that the remnant must repent and return to. We're talking about repent and return. I think these three things are very, very key. As we see the day of the Lord drawing near, you ready? Number one, we must awaken and then arise. How many of you know if you just awaken and roll back over and hit the spiritual snooze bar, you will have to be awakened next Sunday and next Sunday?
Right, right.
Hello?
Right, yeah.
Or maybe next year for some people.
Yeah.
But when you awaken and you arise, you get up.
That's right.
Amen? And you stay up for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah?
Amen.
You know, we've been praying a lot with all that's going on in our nation, all that's going on in the church, mm-hmm. all that's going on in our government and in politics and everything else. We've prayed a lot. Said, Lord, bring your light and expose corruption, expose darkness, right?
Yeah.
We've been praying that. But how many of you know, but that's a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
Because God comes to my heart and he exposes things in me that I need to deal with. Y'all with me?
That's right.
Look what it says here in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 13. But all things become visible when they are exposed by what? The light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says what? Awake, sleeper. In other words, get up, sleepyhead. Uh-huh. Amen? And what? Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. How many of you believe that verse?
Yes.
Think about this. The light of his glory exposes darkness. Yep. What did Isaiah say? Arise and shine, for your light has come. Amen? For the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Right? Though darkness, get this, covers the earth, and deep darkness is on the peoples, the glory of the Lord will rise upon you and upon me. Do you see that? So I'm not impacted by how dark things have gotten. It's all about the fact, do I glow in the dark?
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's what God's calling us to. And I believe with all my heart, he will not shine on those who will not wake up and rise up.
Amen.
If we don't wake up and rise up, we just remain in slumber.
That's right. That's right.
And if we don't think slumber is something to worry about, the five foolish virgins were sleeping.
Yeah.
Some were the wise, but the wise woke up.
That's right.
And they trimmed their lamps and they had the oil.
That's right.
The foolish obviously hit snooze.
Yeah.
Amen. Right?
Yep.
Hit it many times maybe.
Yep.
Until it was too late.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here. This is a word about life. Amen.
Yeah.
We got to guard against lukewarmness and slumber.
Right. Amen.
We got to guard against it. Jesus is coming, and he's going to work a work in our day.
That's right.
Things are accelerating.
Yeah.
And I want to be awake to see it. Do you?
Yes.
I'm serious. I want to be awake to see what he's doing.
Amen.
And if you and I will awaken and arise, he will shine.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Number two. That's the first one. There's three. I usually give you seven. Number two, we must wait upon the day of the Lord from a posture of watching and prayer. Watching and praying. Y'all hear what I just said?
Yeah.
So you can't wait. What did I tell you about waiting? Waiting is having that expectant trust. I'm expecting something, but I'm also trusting something because I've got to trust God. Because he's the God of the appointed time.
Amen.
It's not my time, it's his time.
Amen.
So I have to live expectantly trusting in God, right?
Right.
But I can't do that if I don't posture myself in watching and in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, everybody?
Yeah.
It's all in the same thing is what I'm saying. You remember Habakkuk? He got himself up on the wall. He said, I'm going to get up on the wall. I'm going to see what the Lord will say to me. And then the Lord told him, you remember, he said, I want you to write the vision. I want you to make it plain so that he who reads it may run with it. Right? So he got a vision. He got a prophetic word. But then the third verse of Habakkuk 2, look there with me. Look what it says. For the vision is yet for what? The appointed time. Say appointed time.
Appointed.
It hastens. And that word is hurries. It hurries toward the goal and it will not fail. In other words, it's going to make it. Right? Though it tarries, I thought it was hurrying. So who's it tarrying to? You and I.
Mm-hmm.
seemingly to us, it's taking forever. Hello? Come on, y'all. Wait for it. Everybody say, wait for it.
Wait for it.
For it will what?
Come on.
Say it out loud. Certainly come. It will not delay.
Amen.
Sounds to me like God is setting the times.
Yes.
Amen.
I know that's provocative.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the sovereign king is setting the times. Amen. Even though he may have revealed it through one of his faithful mouthpieces, he sets the appointed times. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are y'all cold?
No.
No.
I just saw some people rubbing their arms. I just didn't know. Okay. I feel wonderful, but I just...
Perfect.
It got warm enough out there that it kicked the air on. So anyway, the key here is appointed time. When we receive prophetic insight, let's be honest, we rarely get details. Hello?
Yeah.
We rarely get the details. When Jesus was getting ready to ascend into heaven for the final time, in the beginning of the church age was going to begin, his disciples are there with him. And you remember what they asked him? They said, Lord, is it at this time? We all want to know, right?
Yeah.
Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, it's not for you to know.
Yeah.
The times that are fixed. Everybody say fixed.
Fixed.
Fixed is like, it ain't moving.
Yeah.
It's an immovable time that has been fixed. These epochs and times have been fixed by my Father who is in heaven. But you, now get this. Look how Jesus redirects them. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and even unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
In other words, that's your assignment.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will reveal things to us prophetically. But again, we prophesy in part and we know in part. Mm-hmm. We're looking through as a glass dimly.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, but Paul spoke of a day when we will see him what?
Face to face.
And then we will see clearly.
Amen.
How many are longing for that day? It's the day of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus told his disciples, you remember, he's struggling, asking the Father, could possibly this cup of going to the cross and dying for the sin, could it possibly be taken from me? Remember that?
Yeah.
He's agonizing with it, but his own disciples couldn't even stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back to them. If you remember, he came back to them. You remember what he told them, what the advice was? Watch, say it with me, watch and pray. Why? So that you may not enter into temptation.
Yeah.
You remember what else he said? For the spirit
is willing,
but the flesh is weak. Y'all remember that passage?
Oh, yeah.
We're called to be watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, not just a few intercessors. We're all called to be watchmen on the wall.
Amen.
I'm convinced of that. Because if you're not a watchman, you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. And we shouldn't only be looking that another man or woman of God will always bring me the word and the revelation. We need to be on the wall too.
Yeah.
Amen. Those who I believe this. Those who sincerely watch and look will see.
Yeah.
And that's what God's looking for. Jesus, and it's in Matthew's gospel. He said it as a rhetorical question. He said this. He says, "You guys discern the weather by the appearance of the sky."
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe it's Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you cannot discern the times. How many know that was not a compliment?
No.
That you were good weathermen.
Right.
Right. That wasn't a compliment. But you can't discern the times. He went on to say in other passages, you're like the blind leading the blind. Amen. And I mean, you know, in a lot of religion today, none of that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's still pretty much the same. But it's only from the posture of watching and praying that we can wait on the Lord with expectant trust.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you, if you're born again, I'm looking in the room and I believe I know all of you, most all of you, and you're born again. I know, obviously, the people in the online family and community are born again. But I want to say to you today, your spirit is willing.
Amen.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
My spirit man, he's born again. He wants to do everything. Let's do this.
Yeah.
We'll attack hell with a squirt gun.
Yeah.
Right? But the flesh, everybody say the flesh is weak. Hallelujah. Can I say something to you respectfully? Don't allow your flesh to determine whether or not you're going to seek God.
That's right.
Don't let your flesh tell you to not seek God. Hallelujah.
Right. That's right.
Because I believe because our flesh is weak, that's why we fast.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I'm telling my flesh, nah.
Yeah, that's right.
We're cutting that off. We're going to stop that. We're not going to eat that.
Yeah.
And our flesh gripes the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole fast. Yeah. What are you doing? This is stupid.
Like that donut over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the donut at? See, you said donut. I've completely lost my train of thought.
Sorry. Give me that.
Yeah. So Habakkuk said, well, I'm going to station myself on the wall. I love that.
Yeah.
And I will what? See what the Lord will say to me. I love that. Yeah. It's the spiritual seeing and hearing. And then he said this, and how I may respond when I am reproved.
Yes.
That word for reproved simply means when I'm corrected. How many of you ever need correction? I'm sure none of us ever need correction, right? But when God brings a revelation, he brings correction. Which is why we have to what? Repent and return. Amen?
Yes.
To what God is showing us. And I honestly believe this. We can live in expectant trust if we will live a lifestyle of watching and praying mm-hmm. before the Lord. And not let our flesh veto that principle, okay? Okay? So we awaken and arise. We wait on the day of the Lord from a posture of watching and prayer. The third thing, we must live a disciple's lifestyle, which is a lifestyle of worship. It's a lifestyle of obedience, walking by faith when the Son of Man comes. That's what it's all about. What's it going to be like when the Son of Man comes? Remember, Jesus taught to encourage them about prayer in Luke 18. He was encouraging his disciples to pray day and night. And to not lose heart. Okay? And if you remember, he said, because God is going to bring about justice speedily. Mm-hmm. Amen? Quickly. He will bring about justice. However, he said, when the Son of Man comes, hallelujah, will he find faith on the earth? That's what's important. Will we be in faith when he comes?
Amen.
True disciples are those who lay down their lives for the Lord. Amen? For his sake and the gospel's sake, we live for that. That's what a true disciple abides in this word. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll be my disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A true disciple walks in faith.
Amen.
And walks according to the truth of God. And so when the Son of Man, look with me, faith is so important. And when you understand that faith is connected to your walk, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen?
Amen.
Look at 1 John 5 with me. 1 John 5, verse 5. How many of you know there's times in our Christian lives when we feel like, you know, as far as the world is concerned, we didn't feel a lot of resistance. Anybody with me? Mm-hmm. It wasn't that bad. I mean, there's a lot of people maybe that weren't, you know, in my corner. But overall, I didn't feel like my nation was against me.
Yeah.
Right? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's getting weird.
Yeah.
It's getting strange. I'll just be honest with you. And I don't want you to think about any people when I say this. It's getting demonic.
Yeah.
More and more demonic and more and more dark.
Yeah.
And so you start to understand that. And you kind of maybe realize all the more. And we tend to think, let's be honest, we tend to kind of act like, well, that's the world, and you better watch out because the world has run you over like a Mack truck. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Bible says Jesus has overcome the world, and we overcome the world through him. Amen?
Yes.
And that's why we have to walk by faith.
Yes.
Y'all still there?
Yes.
I mean, we could look at it right now with all this thing going on. I mean, from 2020 now through early 21, we're like going, wow. Mm-hmm. You know? 1 John 5, 4, look there. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Say it out loud.
Our
faith.
Faith.
Say it again.
Our faith.
Who is the one who overcomes the world? My pastor. No, what does it say? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son. Do you believe he's the Son of God?
Yeah.
Guess what? You overcome the world by your faith.
Yeah.
That's important. It's a true disciple's life is a walk of faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. Amen? You're more than conquerors. You're overcomers.
Amen?
And faith without any works is
dead.
We all like that non-working faith, don't we? Just kind of sit around and talk about it. Sing about it, shout it, wear shirts about it, but don't have to do anything, right? That's another problem we got to face. Remember what Jesus said? Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. Jesus said, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about works by which you get saved. Everybody relax. It's not what I'm talking about at all. We're saved by grace alone. Do we agree?
Yes.
We're saved by grace alone.
Yes.
But don't be deceived. He saved you because he has something for you to do. Mm-hmm. He's got an assignment for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, he's saving you from an eternity in hell and giving you an eternity in heaven. But in the meantime, you've got something to do.
Yeah.
If you're still living and breathing on the planet, you need to find out what your assignment is.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is part of what restoration is about.
Yeah.
Go meet Ephesians 2. It's so beautifully. These verses, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, these verses beautifully explain it. Look what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. Not as a result of
works,
so that no one may boast. I mean, if we could work for it, that's all we do is sit around and brag.
Yep, that's for sure.
What I've done for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Are y'all with me? For we are His
workmanship.
Gotta keep reading. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. When you were born again, you were created in Christ Jesus, right? For good works. Mm-hmm. Which God prepared beforehand so that we would what? Walk in them. So here's what I will say to you. We are not saved by our works, but we are saved for good works.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because I'm saved, He's got something for me to do.
Yes.
And I still am only saved by grace and through faith in His name. So my encouragement to you today is to shake off slumber, shake off complacency. If you need to repent and return to the disciples' life, just do it. And let's get on track with God. Because I'll tell you, there is no greater joy in life than to walk close with God.
That's right.
There really is no greater joy. There's no greater fulfillment. There's no greater refreshing and transformation than to be in His presence. You know, when Jesus prayed in John 17, He prayed that we would have eternal life. He's praying to the Father for us. Mm-hmm. And then He said this, and He defined what eternal life was. He said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." That's what He was saying. He said, that's what eternal life is. Eternal life is knowing God. But how many of you know, it's not knowing about God. It's having a relationship with God. Through the Holy Spirit and through His Son, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? That's what it's always about. Not to just know about Him. Knowing Him is to... Mordecai, if you remember, he sent word to Queen Esther. You remember? He informed her about Haman's evil plot to destroy the Jews. You remember that? Everybody with me in the book of Esther?
Yeah.
And he asked her to go before the king and ask for favor and plead with him on behalf of your people, the Jew.
Yeah, that was right.
And Esther replied to Mordecai, well, if anyone goes before the king unsummoned, could lose her head.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if the king doesn't extend the golden scepter, you're out, you're toast. You're done. Right?
Right.
And nobody had gone before the king in 30 days at this time.
Yeah.
And this woman's married to the man. Nobody even... approached His presence. So I can understand she was apprehensive, right?
Yeah.
But can I tell you, she didn't realize the level of favor she had.
Yeah.
Not at that time. But Mordecai's reply to her is classic. And the reason we quote it all the time, it's so prophetic to you and me. And look what he said to her in Esther 4, verse number 13. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. Look what he said to her. Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise. Everybody say, will arise. For the Jews from where?
Another place.
Wow. And you and your father's house
will perish.
And who knows whether you've not attained royalty or... I think the old King James says, come into the kingdom.
Yeah.
For what? Such a time as this.
Wow.
Is that not powerful?
Yes. Yeah.
We're the people of God, everybody. You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
We're the people of God. We're His royal priesthood. Amen? We can come before Him because it's called the throne of grace. The scepter is extended
to us
to come. Amen?
Yeah.
And we've come to the kingdom. And when you and I arise... from our royal place, deliverance will arise for others.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And there, again, there's a weightiness of the responsibility of us getting this harvest. He's extended His scepter of authority for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I love what it says in Psalm 110, where He says, rule in the midst of your enemies. And He extended the scepter of His authority.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that in Psalm 110? Yeah, 110. And then it says, and your people volunteer freely in the day of your power. Frankly, when He extended the grace scepter, it was the day of His power. And I tell you, today is the day of His power.
Amen.
Every day you're on this planet is the day of His power.
That's right.
Amen.
If we'll just volunteer freely. Now, I want us to respond to this in faith today. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
And those of you at home, stay engaged. Don't turn it off because I just finished the sermon. Because I could ramble for another 45 minutes. But I want us all to respond in faith. Think about this. Let this soak in. The eyes and ears of the Lord, His heart, are perpetually on you and me. Mm-hmm. Especially when we gather together. Mm-hmm. Think about that. He's perpetually, His heart is on us. Mm-hmm. And He That's responds right. to our prayers.
That's right.
It's yeah. powerful.
Amen.
I didn't give the team this scripture, but you can jot this one down. We talked about it in prayer the other night. Let me read it to you real quick, and we're going to pray. Write this down. Jeremiah 24, 6 and 7. Jeremiah 24, 6 and 7. Look at this. Look what the Lord says. For I will set my eyes on them for good. Everybody say for good.
For good.
And I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them up, get this, and not overthrow them. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. Freedom Gate.
Amen.
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 Amen. And I will give them a heart to know me. Anybody want that?
Yes.
The Lord said, I will give you a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. Amen?
Yes.
For they will what? There it is. Return to me with their whole heart.
Amen.
Wow, does anybody want that right there? Serious. Wow. Think about it. That word for know, and I know we've heard this for years, but a little reminder won't hurt you. That word for know is the same word when it said Adam knew Eve.
Yeah.
Y'all get it? And what does it say after that? And she conceived. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
In our knowing of God, we're going to conceive some things. Amen?
Yes.
Prophetically in the Spirit of God. It goes to a whole nother level. You don't get any more intimate than that between two human beings, right? Hello?
Yeah.
And God's saying, I want you to know me in that way. Anybody want to know God that way?
Yes.
I don't want you to stand up. I would like to ask the musicians to come because I want us to close with a worship song. If you guys could come and get in place. What I want us to do, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. And then I want us just to open our hearts up. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do something powerful right now. And those of you at home, if you would, just stay engaged with us here. And right there in your home together. Are y'all ready? If you would just sit wherever you are and lift your face toward heaven. And why don't you just put your hands out in front of you. Just relax in His presence. It's not that we don't fear the Lord and we don't reverence Him. But we also are resting in His presence and His goodness right now. I hear the Lord wanting me to remind all of you, His heart is toward your heart. He loves you that much. He's drawing you with an everlasting love. He loves you with an everlasting love. His mercies are new to you this very day. Great is His faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now would you just pray with me to the Lord out loud. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Help us all.
Help us all.
To wake up.
To wake up.
And to rise up.
And to rise up.
For such a time as this.
For such a time as this.
Awake my soul.
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 Again, awake my soul.
Awake my soul.
I choose this day.
I choose this day.
To repent.
To repent.
And return.
And return.
I believe, Lord.
I believe, Lord.
That you wipe away my sins.
That you wipe away my sins.
And that you revive me.
And that you revive me.
Send your refreshing.
Send your refreshing.
Upon us, Lord, I pray.
Upon us, Lord.
Your wind of renewal.
Your wind of
revival.
Revival.
Upon us all, Lord.
Upon us all.
Here today.
Here today.
And in our homes.
And in our homes.
Come.
Come.
Spirit of God.
Spirit of God.
Fill the room.
Fill the room.
And fill us this day.
Fill us this day.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Begin to pray in the Spirit for a moment. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Come on, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just worship the Lord. Wind is blowing. Wind is blowing. Pray with me again. I thank you, Lord. That I am saved by grace.
I am saved by grace.
Through faith.
Through faith.
And it's not according to my works.
It's not according to my works.
Grant us
a spirit of faith.
To rise up.
And walk by faith.
In those works.
That we were created in Christ.
To walk in.
To be faithful, Lord.
To all you have planned.
For us, Lord.
To receive
our spiritual sons and daughters.
The harvest
that you purchased
with your blood.
King Jesus.
Most importantly, O Lord,
grant us a desire,
a heart
to truly know you.
I'll say that again, to truly know you.
So that we will return
to you
with our whole heart.
Now just lift those hands. Say with my whole heart.
Begin to worship. Begin to pray however you want to pray right now. However you want to worship.
Just begin to release it unto heaven right now.
Lord, I give you my heart, O King.
I give you my whole heart.
Jesus, I give you my whole heart.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe on us from the four winds and fill this place. Fill every living room and every home. Fill our lives. Baptize us afresh, Holy Spirit.
This is my desire.
Lord, with all my heart.
Thank you. place your hands just over your innermost being, over your belly area. Just place your hands there right now. The scripture calls that the old English, the belly, the innermost being. Lord, I pray today for that.
Yes,
we used to say years ago that, Lord, I would know you in my knower.
Yes.
Deep within. And beloved, when you know God this way, you don't just think things, you feel things.
Yes.
We talk about how we feel it in our gut. But I'm telling you, the Lord wants to stir something. He wants to stir the rivers of living water today. Stir it up, O Lord. Stir it up, O Lord. And I worship that living water flow. That living water flow, rivers of water flow. Come on, just worship. Just be spontaneous. Just pour out your heart. Let it flow, my God. Let it flow, my God. Oh. Prophetic dreams and visions, prophetic words that you have never, ever even seen, heard, or imagined. But I call them to life today. They're not aborted. They're not put to death, says the Lord. I cause even something dead to live again, says the Lord. For my word will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire, says the Lord. Hallelujah. My word will be accomplished in the earth. Like the rain and the snow that come down from heaven and water the earth. I declare over you today, the word of God is going to sprout and spring up and spring forth from your life. Hallelujah. There's good seed in your heart. There's good seed in your soul. Break up your fallow ground. And seek the Lord, and He will rain righteousness on you. Hallelujah. The deep things of God.
Yes.
Telling
him right now you want to go deeper. Just tell him, I want to go deeper, Lord. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. We acknowledge you, Holy Spirit, as he who leads us and guides us into all spiritual realities. And Lord, I pray again, Lord God, that we will worship and pray every time we worship and pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
That we would gain new revelation and thereby new refreshings will come. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, I declare over this house again and over all of our friends and partners and loved ones, I declare over you again, prepare yourself for the come up here moments. Prepare yourself, for there is a door open in heaven. The doors are not closed to revelation. The doors are open in Jesus' name. And I release you by the blood of the Lamb to believe God. To believe God. To live from his perspective. Does anybody have anything you're seeing right now or you've been shown? You want to share it before we close? Huh? Anybody else has something? Come on now. Don't be ready to take the mic. Is anything God showed you? Let's just share.
Actually, this is kind of part of your word from earlier.
Is that mic on?
Yes.
Anyway, this is kind of following up with what Rick was talking about earlier. When I just saw this black hole over us, like what's going on in our nation has just been a black hole. All of a sudden, I saw God just slam his hand down, and I saw this darkness just being lifted up and removed. And it was interesting because I just saw all these people all of a sudden just wake up. It was just like everybody just woke up, and they're looking around like, what just happened?
Yes.
And I just saw angels going around us and just circling and kept circling, and every single person all of a sudden just shouted the roar of Judah, the Lion of Judah roar.
Amen.
Just came through.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is positive in our what we need to hear right now. I just felt God wanted me to share this about this.
Good.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anybody else? Anything, just something you may have seen or something you're sensing?
Pastor, just a thought. It's really, there's such an intimacy the Father wants to have with us. I'm overwhelmed over here.
Yes. Yes.
He wants it more than we do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Faces up. Lift your confidence. Glory. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Release your glory. Release your glory. Would you just ask him right now? Moses asked to see the glory of the Lord. Would you ask him right now?
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory, Lord. That will transform us, Lord. Your glory that will unify us, Lord. Unlike anything else could ever take place. Glory! Critical, just being just to challenge us.
Yeah.
I remember in the Old Testament, they were all in one accord and the cloud came in. Remember that?
Yeah.
The glory cloud came in. I'm gonna ask you if you remember like you were there. I don't think any of you are quite that old.
Maybe Marv.
Yeah. But the glory cloud, you remember it came in and it was so powerful, everybody in the place, even the priests, couldn't get up to minister.
Amen.
Nobody could even take the mic, so to speak. And I got to thinking, as powerful as that is, and yet there's a glory that's even greater that we're experiencing. How many of you believe today after this message that his heart is toward you?
Yeah.
Perpetually.
Yes.
Amen. He's toward the house.
Yes.
He's toward the house.
Amen.
He's toward your house, all of our friends.
Yes.
Amen. And we believe and agree we're all going to be back together again very soon in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord bless each one of you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon yours. May the Lord be gracious unto you and grant you peace. Shalom. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This week, prayer will be Thursday night. It'll remain on Thursday night until we figure out when the discipleship groups are going to meet, and then we'll let you know about the prayer night, okay? Anyway, stay in touch, everyone. Let us know what's going on if you need anything.